Yeah. So Rachel and I are so glad you listened to our podcast, and we hope to keep it going. And we have a new baby coming, baby Archie. So we'll see how we'll adapt accordingly.
Yes.
Yeah. He'll let Rachel get away for an hour.
Oh, I'm sure I'll need it. Right? An hour break here and there. Be nice.
It makes you, as a mom, having your own self-care and your own time makes you more emotionally mature.
Yep. Which takes us right into our topic for today, which is emotionally immature individuals. And I'm sure we all know at least one, probably more than one. Yeah. Linda's facial expression was like, I know about a dozen, right?
And to preface it, and growing up with chaotic attachment style and fearful behaviors in my household, I certainly had emotional immaturity in my youth because I didn't know anything about it. So recognizing your own emotional immaturity while also pointing out how others are making you feel is important because it's part of your growth as it is part of their growth.
Thanks for mentioning that, right? Like this, the self-awareness and accountability piece, because as we go through some of the examples of what emotional immaturity looks like, and you're listening to this podcast, you it might sting a little bit. You might go, oof, I've done that, or I do that in my own life and relationships. So this is not meant to criticize or belittle anyone. We're just trying to help kind of define what emotional immaturity is and how to manage it if you run into someone, who is emotionally immature in your life.
Thank you, Rachel. Thanks for validating me. I appreciate that so much. The book that I've been reading, I want to give her credit, certainly, is called Disentangling from Emotionally Immature People, Dr. Lindsay Gibson. This is a good read because Rachel, she references internal family therapy by Robert Schwartz, and she also references emotionally focused individual therapy with the individual child or
Yay.
the inner child work. I don't know if it was EFT specific.
Yeah,
So
that's
good
great.
read for folks. Yeah, we certainly can attach that or something. We post it. So what are some causes for emotional instability with folks?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is probably unresolved stuff. I'll call it unresolved trauma, unresolved relationship wounds.
Certainly, growing up, like I mentioned earlier, with chaos, trying to know what will make your parents happy if you grew up with instability in your home. Not knowing, okay, if I do jumping jacks and do cartwheels, I'll make everyone happy and they'll laugh and I'll do a little dance and try to keep everyone happy. If you played that role in your family, then you probably felt like there was some overdependence on you as a kid to meet an emotionally immature parent's unmet needs, which Rachel and I both have taken emotionally focused family therapy. And as you know, that is a top-down relationship. The care system goes from parent to child, not child to parent.
Yeah.
Developmentally, this makes sense.
Yeah. And so what you're saying by that is in an adult relationship, it's more equal, more even. We're on the same tier of the hierarchy, so to speak, right? We're on the same level, an adult. When it's parent-child, parent should be on a higher tier, right?
Yes.
Meaning that they do not need the child to meet the parent's emotional needs. The
Nope.
parent should be meeting their own emotional needs or seeking those desires from another adult on their same tier, whereas the child does need that parent adult to meet their emotional needs.
Yeah, exactly. Well stated. Well, I like the body language, I like the hand movement. Rachel, I like
I'm a
the
very visual person. I was
hand.
like dancing,
What we
knocking
did.
stuff over on my desk during Zoom meetings. I'm like, oh.
Doing a little
Let me
stuff.
rein my hands in, rein them in here.
We're just hens. Oh, that's fun. So the attachment trauma is one way that a person may be emotionally immature. They grew up being their parent, oh, like making them over-identify with their emotions so that they can soothe them and be their little soothing tool, pacifier in life. So that can cause emotional instability. Some other things I'm thinking of, other ways in which you could be stumped emotionally. I'm not coming up with anything right at the moment. Maybe I'm stuck there.
Well, I think it might be important for us to just add that developmentally, a person typically doesn't reach a level of emotional maturity until their late 20s, early 30s. So as we're talking about this, if you're like, oh my goodness, my 12-year-old's so emotionally immature, what am I going to do? It's like, that's maybe developmentally appropriate. I'm not saying the behavior is always okay or appropriate, but just the level or lack of emotional maturity, if you're less than 25, is normal. Would you agree?
I totally agree with that, Rachel. And the neuroscience, the neurowisdom suggests that empathy, that part of the brain where I can feel what you're feeling, Rachel, I'm empathizing with what you're feeling, isn't developed till the 30s and up.
Yeah, which I think shocks a lot of people, right?
Like, really?
Yeah.
Why do we
Early
have to be
30s.
in our 20s then?
We're not emotionally mature ourselves. Yeah.
Oh, that would be me. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Poor little Grant. He's got a hard time. His mom's trying to grow up with him. Yeah. So that's that developmental part. Rachel's spot on. I expect my 2-year-old to throw a tantrum when I don't get them food.
100% would be abnormal if they didn't. Yeah. Yeah. And
Nice.
it's,
Yeah,
go
go
ahead.
ahead. You go
Sure.
ahead.
I was just going to say it's something that usually also kind of we improve upon and it gets better with age, right? So if I'm in my early 40s, 50s, 60s, I'm probably going to be more emotionally mature than my early 30s, even though that's when it's tech kind of, research suggests it's fully developed. It's not usually something that's like, well, this is developed and that's as good as it's going to get. Like, it's something, that self-regulation, emotional management is something we can continue to improve on
Yeah, and
as
it's
we
not
age.
linear, right, Rachel? It's not
Yeah.
a straight line. You're gonna like
Exactly.
couples therapy. When we're working with couples, there's gonna be some raw spots, and then you might go back acting like a fool and calling each other names. Well, okay, well, what are we doing? So emotional instability can show up. That doesn't mean you're not growing.
Right.
It's a con yeah, well. You can go forward and go backwards with
Yeah.
EQ. Don't you
Yeah.
think?
Yeah.
EQ.
It's like, up and down, right? Like waves. And going down is not necessarily regression,
Right.
which I think people get confused about. They're like, I was doing so well. And then, the anniversary of the loss of a loved one, and I just feel like a mess. I'm crying all the time. I can't keep it together. I feel like I'm regressing. It's like, this is not regression. This is totally normal and appropriate expression of grief, you know.
Yeah. You're missing a part of yourself.
Yeah.
Person is a part of who you are. Yeah. And this one therapist says that what happens is when you start to feel good and you learn how to manage and regulate better, when you have an off moment where you lose it, you throw a tantrum or you get upset and you hurl insults or throw something, I don't know, whatever you might do that's emotionally immature, feels so much more like a setback.
It sure does, doesn't it?
And then you're like, what was all this work for? Well, you're growing. You're growing. So,
Yeah, I'm glad we mentioned that.
yeah.
Yeah.
What defines an emotionally immature person?
Are we ready?
Ready for it?
Yeah, I think number one for me is lack of awareness, lack of insight, right? They don't consider how their behavior impacts other people in their life probably view them as selfish a lot of the time because of that.
Yeah. And their needs, their immediate needs override the whole situation. Kind of like if you're in the car driving your kid to the beach to get him to the beach for fun, and they're tired of being in the car, they start throwing a fit. They're done. They don't want to be there anymore. They're uncomfortable. They need to move. They're hungry, whatever. Well,
Extremely reactive, right? Like
yes, thank you.
impulsive.
Yeah. My needs matter right now. You're going to meet my needs, Rachel. You're going to do it. You're going to make me feel happy right now. I don't care that you got to go to the doctor. No. Just that. No, they're not going to say, I don't know. Okay. They're going to
We're
guilt.
making up examples here, right?
Yeah, they'll guilt trip you.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you're never a good friend to me, Rachel. You never show up for me in the way I need you to. You feel.
Yeah, that avoidance of responsibility. Right? Like they don't take responsibility, they don't take accountability. There's always excuses, place and blame on other people,
Never.
difficulty to commit and follow through on things.
Yeah.
I'm gonna change this time. Everything's gonna be different. And it's not, over and over and over again.
And the lack of awareness that they're putting other people out.
Yeah.
Big one.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, their behaviors often lead to negative consequences, and they just don't seem to accept that.
Yeah, there's a disconnection between how people respond to them, like you said, versus how they think people ought to respond.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
I
All this
should love
reading.
those moments. Yeah.
Good soundbite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they have this emotion that they don't know how to regulate on their own, right? Or a
Correct.
need is not met. And so they're expecting everybody else to regulate them because they can't regulate themselves. But oftentimes, the reaction or the response they're getting from other people is not what they thought it was going to be. People get upset and they're like, what's going on here? Why can't you drop everything and leave work and come home because I'm having a panic attack? What's wrong with you?
And when you're in that type of dynamic, it creates a sense of that the other person is now your baby or your child. Like you're putting them back in the womb. Rachel's got a little baby in the womb, and it's like you're putting them back there, and you're trying to hold and nurture something that got missed when they were in their mom's womb in their young years. Like you cannot replace that for someone else.
Yeah, because what we're talking about here with emotionally immature people is someone that's in an adult-adult relationship, right? A sibling or a friend or a partner, right? Or if it's your parent, right? We're not talking about your child, anyone's child or a niece or nephew or relationship.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
So that individual, whether that's a parent or a coworker or something, their tantrum or protest interferes with the task at hand because they're wanting you to coddle them back to homeostasis, which Rachel and I, when we do emotionally focused individual therapy, we help you reparent those parts that got missed. So you become emotionally regulated. That's why I love the therapy. It's so good.
Yeah. Because that safe, the reason why it works is that safe co-regulation between client and the therapist, right? We as a therapist are helping our clients co-regulate, right? Because we are there with them in this really hard emotional place, offering safety and comfort. And that then helps them learn how to better self-regulate.
And then they're like, when these unmet needs don't get met, like, oh, I need to go for a walk, or I need to breathe like Rachel and I practiced. Maybe I need to put my feet in the grass.
Yeah, they're learning all these coping skills, right? New healthy coping skills, right? That are better than the ones that they kind of learned on their own without any help. Because what happens is when we don't have a lot of healthy co-regulation growing up, we learn that in order for anyone to see our and validate our emotion, maybe we've got to like turn that emotional volume up. Maybe I've got to get loud and scream so that I'm heard because I never feel heard, right? Or maybe I can't trust for anyone to see that emotion at all, and I learn that it's pointless, and so I turn that emotional volume way down. I shut down, I freeze up, right? I go into my turtle shell. I hide, yeah.
Well stated. I love how she says emotional volume too far down or too far up. I love that.
That's a EFT. Learned that from maybe George Fowler or somebody.
Awesome. Shout out to George Fowler.
Yeah, awesome EFT trainer.
Yes, James Hawkins too. Am I saying his
Oh,
name?
maybe. Yeah, I think so. Doc Hawk.
Yes, I love their podcast. So once you start to recognize these behaviors in someone who's an adult, we're not talking about, like Rachel mentioned, parent to child. Your child's going to have fits, okay? You're teaching your child. So when you start to recognize these patterns with someone, what should we recommend people do when they start to feel some kind of way all the time when they're with this person?
Oof. I think we'll definitely have a conversation about boundaries here coming up shortly. But I think number one it adjusts your expectations. You know, if this person consistently behaves this way, expect them to. Would not adjust my expectations for this person and hope that, you know, this today maybe they're going to be reasonable.
They're not.
They probably won't be unless they're like really putting in the time and energy to do the work through therapy and yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. So if when you're around someone and you're feeling overly anxious or the need to respond, the need to act, the need to kind of coddle or stand on your head to try to make them okay, that's when you know, oh, it's time for me to create space there. Like what Rachel's talking about, that boundary. The author's talking about we get into an emotionally mature person gets into what she calls cognitive distortions, and they get into distortions and they can't, they it seems greater than it actually is to them, right? So you not calling that morning, call me up, Rachel, this morning, just check in with me and say, hello, Linda, how you doing? Like if I like get real mad because you didn't call me, Rachel didn't call me, I'm just using a scenario. She don't need to call me. We talk to each other all the time. So me aiming up, oh, I'm so mad at you. I'm never gonna talk to you again. How could you not? If I start getting into that, what, you know, Rachel, volume up, the emotion's too big, it doesn't match what she didn't do. That's not going to work. The emotionally mature person is amping it up to get a need met. That's not, it's not, it doesn't even match what's happening.
Yeah, it's about something else or 20 other things that have gone wrong in that person's life leading up to that moment. And this is just happens to be the moment that it all comes pouring out. And you are the unfortunate receiver of that explosion.
Yeah, that's important to understand and process what's happening. If you feel like you're around someone's emotionally immature,
Yeah.
or yourself may have an emotionally immature moment because, you know, maybe your hormones are out of whack, or maybe you didn't sleep all week, maybe you didn't get anything to eat that day. You know, a lot of things can cause disruption in your mental health.
Yeah, there's an acronym HALT, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. We are
Hungry.
never our best in those moments.
Yeah. Is that from 12 steps?
Sure what it's from. I wish it might be, but I wish I knew or could remember.
I think it's AA.
Nice. Yeah, I remember learning it like back in grad school, so it was a while back. Yeah.
Can you say that again, Rachel?
Yeah, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
So we want to encourage people to be well fed.
Take care of yourself, in other words, right? If you're not engaging in self-care, you're not sleeping, you're not eating regularly, right? There's a lack of support. Not going to be engaging with the world. At your best. Yeah.
No. To expect otherwise is irrational.
Completely.
Yeah. So an emotionally immature people will not make sense.
Yeah.
So you know, if every time you talk with them, there's another disaster, or that week the lights didn't all turn green when they arrived at the light, we know that's not what it's about. However, when you engage with them, everything is catastrophic. Everything. I'm not talking about real trauma, you know, being in an accident, loss, grief. We're not talking about that. We're talking about like your shoes didn't fit that day. I don't know, something ridiculous. And then they're spiraling.
Yeah. They don't respond well to boundaries. Right? So like this is setting boundaries with an emotionally immature person is going to be very difficult. Okay, because they do something that you don't like and you clearly address that with them, you know, like, hey, really made me uncomfortable when you did this. Could you please not do that again? And if you do in the future, you know, like this is what I'm going to have to do in response to that because it's important for me to be comfortable. You know, they're going to be like, I can't believe that made you uncomfortable. What are you talking about? Me? I made you uncomfortable? Well, that hurts my feelings that you would suggest that I made you uncomfortable.
That's spot
I
on.
deserve an apology.
Yeah, that's so accurate. Yeah. And as soon as you say, what do you think making a post, a mean post about me on social media? Did you think I was going to respond with love and, you know, chocolates and flowers to you? No, I'm not doing that. Matter of fact, I'm going to block you. And probably won't speak to you. So,
Yeah.
you know, maybe Taylor Swift's saying is pretty accurate. It's, do you always have to forgive? Well, I believe from a Christian perspective to forgive. What I don't believe is that I keep going back and getting slapped in the face. And I don't think that's what God means by turning the other cheek. And so I kind of go with what people are saying today. Like you've heard Taylor Swift's soundbite on TikTok or social media. She's like, you don't have to forgive. You just move on. You know, basically, she said it so eloquently. Yeah, you can move on.
Yeah.
Just dust your feet off, as Jesus said, and move on. If people don't receive you and they're critical of you because you didn't do what they wanted you to do, that's not a relationship, is it, Rachel?
No, that's not fair.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, there are things like abuse that are hard to forgive. That is sometimes impossible for people to forgive. And that's okay. And if it is something, you know, other than that, like someone hurts your feelings over and over again and you want to forgive them, that's great. But forgiving them doesn't mean you have to keep them in your life. It doesn't mean you have to be buddy buddy with them and try to have this positive, healthy relationship. Like forgiveness can be walking away, right? Like I forgive you. Because I understand you are an emotionally immature person and you are just not at the place where I need you to be for us to have a healthy relationship. Like, I forgive you for that. And to protect myself, I'm going to go down this other path that does not involve you. Yeah.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even if they're a family member or a longtime friend, yeah.
Yeah. Well stated, Rachel. It's you can't keep pursuing someone who is a black hole in their life. And a black hole, as we know, just never ends.
Yeah.
You can give someone a mansion in California on top of a cliff overlooking the seas with a chef, a maid service. If they're still inside, not regulated, not comfortable within themselves, none of the external things are going to fix it. They're going to be right back where they were. So you have to go inward to heal. That's very hard. It's very hard. Not been very hard.
It
Yeah.
is. Yeah. It's a very unfair dynamic. You know, I have lost count of the number of times people have been in session and they express this frustration, right? Of like, why am I the one in therapy when They're the reason I'm here, and they are the one that needs therapy. They won't go, so here I am. You know, they
Yeah.
should be paying my therapy bill. Like,
Right.
yeah, get that.
Yeah, it's true. And you can feel their emotional dysregulation when you're around them. I keep pulling up our notes here. So the emotional dysregulation, you start to over-identify. And that's when, Rachel, they call it enmeshment. And Brené Brown says when you go down in the hole and you be sad with the person about their situation, you can pat them, be there with them, but you come back out of the off the ladder and they're still there. They've got to work through it themselves. You cannot stay in the hole with people forever.
Right. Yeah. That difference between empathy and enmeshment, beautifully described there, Linda. Thank you.
Yeah, I love how Brené Brown articulates that. So, if you notice for yourself, and I was in my early 20s, you had an unfinished self-concept. She talks about that in the book. The way to complete your self-concept is first get a therapist. I know I'm a therapist and I have, I do have self gain to encourage therapy. I'm talking go see any therapist, not just Rachel and I. Like, go see someone and figure out why you're so dysregulated emotionally. Dig deep. Look at old photos. See if your parents have those clips of you in videos. See what's going on. Notice things. Oh, that little girl, she needed someone to tell her that she's going to be okay and nothing bad's going to happen today. We call those markers in therapy. When did you get stuck? What needs were not getting met? Who wasn't there for you when you needed them to be?
Yeah. For people listening, can you define self-concept, what you mean by that?
Yeah, that's who you are when you're born. Like, that's your God-given self, your likes, your dislikes, your traits, your brown, beautiful hair and your beautiful eyebrows, just all the loveliness. And how you see that. How do you perceive yourself when you look in the mirror, when you think about you? What do you think of? Do you think people, is that pretty accurate there, Rachel? The
Yeah.
self-concept?
Yeah. Like your sense of identity, sense of self, view of self. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. What makes you feel joy? What makes you feel alive? Can you imagine going through life never knowing what makes you feel real?
Some people do. Confusing and sad, right? Yeah. So you're kind of what we're getting at here is if you've found yourself in a relationship where you surpass empathy and you become enmeshed, that's where people tend to lose themselves and become kind of like a mirror image of this other person.
Well
Yeah.
stated. A mirror image of the same actions, emotions, over identifying with someone else. So you never get well, right? You just stay enmeshed. You never break off and become individuation, as that's a part of the developmental process. Individually, who am I apart from my mother?
Yeah. So if you're in, close relationship with this person, like it's your parent or a best friend or partner, and they're very emotionally immature, and so you're doing everything you can to prevent them, right, from like having an angry outburst or abandoning you because maybe they shut down or run away, like take off. Like you're kind of like trying to predict and mind read, right? Like, okay, what do they need me to do so that everything, the boat never gets rocked, everything stays stable.
And there's no way to know if that person is the emotionally immature parent or person that you're with. There's no predictability. There's no security in that. Because their
Right.
outburst could come from they have like a flash memory, of not getting a need met. Their mom was not there for them. And then all of a sudden they have an anger outburst at you as a kid. But you don't know, like you said, mind reading. I can't read my father's mind. I can't see what, I don't know those things. I don't know why you're mad at me because I swept the floor wrong. You can't predict those behaviors. There's no way to know someone else's trauma. There's no way to know that. You're a kid.
Right. Yeah. Nobody ever encouraged or cherished in them, when they were doing the little arts and crafts and things that lit them up, right? And so it's hard for them, this is just an example, to encourage and support you doing your, craft or hobby that you love. And so they make fun of you, they scoff at it, right? So what do? You stop doing that. Because you're not getting validated for it, right? And so that's what I mean, like little examples of like you start to lose bits and pieces of yourself.
Yeah, the self-concept.
Yes, back to the self-concept, which is what we were talking about. Yeah.
Oh, we're on fire today, Rachel. Doing good. So the self-concept gets lost because the emotionally immature parental figure, whoever, can't be there for you and light you up like a lightning bug. You can't flicker, because someone's always there dimming it because they didn't get that need met for them. So why would they meet your need? Yes, that's a cognitive distortion. So, but that's where they're stuck. And
But it's always circling back to them, that emotionally immature person, right? You try to bring something up. Oh, sorry, I'm such a terrible friend. Oh, sorry, I'm such a worthless partner. I guess I'm just the worst mom ever. And it's just like it's exhausting being on the other end of that. Like, that is not where you intended for the conversation to go. It's not helpful, and you're just like, can't talk to this person about anything.
so you detach.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get your self-concept, listeners, people listening to this podcast, if you're grown, remove yourself from people that are emotionally immature. Remove yourself, block, cut off. That may sound harsh if it's a parent, but if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, I suggest it for your own self-concept. I'm talking about if you really have a toxic person that's draining the life source, your soul, like you gotta take time away from that person. And then you can come back with heightened boundaries because you know who you are. You know who you are. And
Yeah.
some people have a hard time doing that, and I get it. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It is. And you can still maintain contact, very limited if you can't cut off all contact to
Yeah.
gain self-concept. What do you think
Yeah.
of Rachel?
It's just absolutely true. Yeah, I agree. You've got to change the way that you engage with and communicate with this person. You've got to limit your engagement by choosing your battles, taking some time apart, and you've got to be very clear when you communicate, right? And focus on what we call I statements. To try to kind of re reduce your risk of conflict. It doesn't work every time. But if you focus on I and try not to say you, right, is
Right.
that's more likely it won't always happen. Please hear me when I say it won't always happen, but it's more likely to get you the possibility of some empathy when you focus on I feel, I need, I think, I'm afraid. So when we use you make me feel, that you're gonna trigger defensiveness. They're gonna go into defense mode. And when they're in defense mode, you're getting zero empathy.
Exactly. Never use the word you. That makes the person feel accused and then they shut down or attack.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just
And
some
some
tips.
good tips, Rachel. You're a great therapist. You're a great therapist.
Thanks.
You, and if they dismiss your I statements, I'm feeling anxious right now. Oh, you're not anxious. You're making that up. Well, then you're definitely not going to get anywhere by staying in the same room with this person. So stop trying to bond with someone that's a black hole emotionally. Stop trying to bond with them. That's a hard thing, isn't it, Rachel?
Yeah, it's hard to adjust your expectation of, how that bond is going to look, because it's not going to look how you want it to.
Yeah. Tear out that chapter in the book that you're just tear it out of what you wanted it to be. It's not there. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some grief that naturally comes along with that. There's a lot of grief that comes with accepting my relationship with this person that's so important to me. And I long for us to have a healthy, close relationship. Probably isn't possible.
There is grief in that. So grieve it.
Yeah.
Another tip for that would be, write it out and say, I'm deeply sorry this relationship is coming to an end. And it is. Yeah. It's tough. Very tough. Well, yeah, I think we did cover this stuff. Sorry, my legs are hurting from training, but
You're awesome. What an inspiration.
inspire me. I just told Caitlin the other day, I was like, Rachel's taught me how to have boundaries with work. I really appreciate
Oh.
that. Yeah. So we want you guys to know, our listeners, if you are pursuing becoming more emotionally mature and learning your own self-concept, we have counselors out here. There's counselors everywhere. Reach out. We have our website, www.truvonwv.com. We have Kaylin coming on board this summer to
Yay.
help with Rachel being gone, and she will be taking on some new folks. So, yeah.
We're
Right.
growing and we're so grateful for all the referrals. Thank you so much.
We're so grateful for our listeners too. Thank you for listening to our podcast and your loyalty. Thank
Yes, we appreciate you. Until next time, everybody take care.
you. Bye.
Bye.